A very good afternoon and welcome to On The Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju. Now, it's Friday, the 15th of August, 2025, and the week is winding down. But the conversations shaping our nation are still very much in motion. Now, for some, it's a day to tie up loose ends. For others, it's a moment to reflect on the week's wins and challenges. Now, whether you're navigating the streets of Katimamulilo, catching up on the errands in Ondangwa, or enjoying a quiet Friday in Swakopmund, we are grateful to be part of your day. Now, here on the radar, we cut through the noise to bring clarity to the issues that matter. We interrogate policies, examine their real-life impact, and lift the voices that are too often unheard. Now, from the corridors of power to the corners of community, we ask who is being held accountable, who is being empowered, and who is being left behind. What's happening in government? Are key initiatives translating into tangible results for Namibians? How are national priorities reflecting in daily lives? And what does the path ahead look like as Namibia navigates economic pressures, social change, and political developments? Now, you can follow us live on Eagle FM app and website and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and WhatsApp. Now, whether you're tuned in from your office, your car, or your home, thank you for making us part of your Friday. Now, this is On The Radar Analysis, where Namibia's headlines meet Namibia's people. Let's dive into today's discussions. During a recent parliamentary standing committee, the Ndonga Linena Green Scheme project manager, Chano Rental, confirmed that the project is progressing with plans to establish orchards across all available open spaces. Now, according to Rental, the initiative aims to diversify agricultural production, improve food security, and generate additional income streams for farmers. He noted that the orchards will include high-value crops such as avocados, which are expected to strengthen year-round farming activity beyond the traditional focus on field crops. Now, Rental added that funds generated from this initiative will be reinvested into the project through the acquisition of farming equipment and upgraded infrastructure. Planned purchases include a smaller precise sprayer, a precision fertilizer spreader, and a new bucket to help ease persistent transport challenges. Although the project initially submitted a request for two boats, Rental pointed out that only one was approved and delivered. Furthermore, Rental said that the ministry plans to collaborate with Ndonga Farmer in the establishment of maize mill, with both parties contributing equally toward the necessary funding. However, despite the strong support from the ministry, significant challenges remain. Internal documents reveal extremely high electricity costs, reportedly running into millions, which continue to hurt production and threaten long-term sustainability. Heavy rainfall has also disrupted operations, with more than 1,200 millimeters received this season, including a single day peak of 180 millimeters, resulting in crop damage and the total submergence of five farmers' fields. Now, this forced the ministry to reallocate alternative plots during the second planting phase. Rental also acknowledged that past procurement issues have delayed progress in some areas, though he stressed that targeted training and improved relationships with suppliers have helped resolve most of the earlier problems. He concluded that the project has already recorded measurable improvement in yields due to precision farming methods and increased mechanism, highlighted by the use of new high-speed disc harrow, and has delivered strong results in food production even during periods of drought. Officials believe the new orchard program reflects a forward-looking approach designed to enhance resilience and ensure long-term sustainability in Namibia's agricultural sector. Let's now listen to our reporter Anakleta Haikera before we move on to Jana Rental.
During the Parliamentary Standing Committee to the 4-state Run Green Scheme in the Kavango region on Wednesday, the farm managers revealed that they are battling with serious electricity challenges threatening production and food security in the region. The Sikondo, Uvunguvungu, Dongalinena, Shodikongoro Green Scheme are all struggling with high electricity costs and unreliable supply. During the visit, farm manager Yano Rento of the Ndongaleni Nagwin scheme confirmed that the high power bills are unsustainable and are hampering the scheme's ability to expand production and maintain profitability. He also stated that he approximately spends $1 million per month, which total over $12 million annually. Yano also explained that they have plans for an orchard, which include high-value crops such as avocado, and will help strengthen the year-round agriculture activities beyond traditional field crops. He added that plans include the purchase of a small precision sprayer, a precision fertilizer spreader, and a new buggy to ease transportation challenges. Although the project had initially requested two boats, only one was provided. Rental added that the ministry intended to partner with Ndongaleni Farm to set up a maize mill, with funding split equally between the farm and the ministry, he added. He also said challenges remain despite strong ministerial support. The project faces significant hurdles. He also explained that heavy rain has also posed problem, with the farm receiving over 1,200 millimeters of the rain this season, including a single day record of 180 millimeters. He added that this caused damage to some crops and left five farmers' fields completely submerged, forcing the ministry to allocate alternative fields during the second phase of planting. He also talked about the past procurement issue that have slowed progress, but officials say targeting training and improved supply relations having resolved most problems. Officials who visited the farm were impressed with the farm manager and says the orchard program represent future-focused planning that will enhance resilience and sustainability in Namibia's agricultural sector.
And now let's hear from Jano Rental himself.
So I think hopefully by end of next year that will be up and running, or by the time you come again, and I will hope for that. And that will help us to diversify the farm. We can't only rely on just grains. We need other income purposes also. And in that plan, it's not attached to the picture. We wanted to add some smaller pivots for commercial, because most of our pivots is 22 to 50 hectares. And that's a bit big for doing vegetables like potatoes and onions and things. So in the plans, they're still busy designing the plans. I will show you also the area. There's a very good area laid out in the farm. It's also open space, about 60 hectares. We want to install some smaller pivots. We start doing potatoes, onions, all these other vegetables also on the farm. Our funds that we generated, currently we are looking at buying another sprayer and a fertilizer spreader, especially for the small-scale farmers. Because our spreader we use for commercial is a very big machine, it's very large, our sprayer is very large. As you will see in the site visit, the plot is very compact and there's valves standing out. So it's always a problem to go in with a big machine. So that's what we will try to do from our side, from funding from our side, not just from the government to buy. And we're also looking at the new bucky to buy for the project, because currently the project has only one bucky and it's not enough for the size of operations we are running. Then we are busy developing a proposal to put up a maize mill at the farm, especially to service the community around Ndongaleni now. Because there's nobody milling in our vicinity, and it's very expensive transport for maize from Rundu to here is very expensive. I think the taxis are asking the people $50 just for a bag of maize to come here. So we want to put up not a big mill, a small mill, 1 ton an hour, just to service our community. And currently we are thinking about 50% of that we will cover from our side, project side, and the ministry the other 50%. That will be our proposal to the ministry at the end of the day. So yeah, our biggest challenges that we have had this year, and that is electricity. Our electricity bill from Dongalemina is very, very high. We are talking about $1 million a month. Yes. So that is very, very high. Then the other challenge, I already mentioned it. We had 1,200 millimeters of rain this season. And on one day, we had 180 millimeters of rain. In one night, it was, it started 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, it was already at 90 millimeters. I froze out the water meter. The next morning, it was again 90 millimeters in the rain meter. So, and that evening, we had some damages on our fields for that 2 months later. So yeah, and then I mentioned the five farmers that were completely underwater and had yield losses, and the farmer we moved. In the last meeting of the committee, we had an issue with procurement. I think the procurement we sorted out with some careful planning. I don't think Ndonga has any problem anymore with procurement issues. We plan ahead and we get our things done. Mariana went for a training on the Procurement Act, so she knows how the things work, so we know the, how it works out, and we get our things done quickly. So, last season we had problems. If you have a flat tire in your, on your tractor, you will wait 2 weeks to fix it. We have our own things here to fix a tire. We can fix it if it's necessary. So yeah, we try to fix it on the farmer side. Yeah, the procurement is still there. It takes time. It's not what it needs to be. But with careful planning, I think we won it at Ndonga. So and then we've tried to improve the procurement efficiency. Suppliers relationship also. Okay. So key achievements, precision farming in action. I think that is, we are the leader currently of all the green schemes. We are not there for private farms yet, but we are going there. There's some private farms that do a lot more in precision, but I think technology wise we have all the technology. We need just key personnel that is trained in precision agriculture, because that is very scarce people currently. So yeah, we improved our soils and our yields this season already. Our mechanization we boosted. We purchased a high-speed disc harrow to support ministry funding. We have our time, our inputs come on time. Previous seasons, not this last season, but it's pretty from 2022. Agribus staff time, our inputs was every time late. And from the ministry took over.
You're tuned into On the Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. We're pausing here and taking a trip to the Maka place. We'll be back shortly with more.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are,
ShopRite is celebrating 35 years of serving Namibia. For 3.5 decades, we've proudly brought you quality products at unbeatable prices. It is all thanks to you, our loyal customers. Come and enjoy exciting birthday specials across the store. It's our way of saying thank you, Namibia. Come celebrate 35 years of value at ShopRite. ShopRite, low prices you can trust always.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. Like I said, you're tuned into On The Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now moving on to other news analysis. The Electoral Commission of Namibia, ECN, has raised concerns over the low turnout of eligible voters during the current voter registration process. ECN spokesperson Devel Tseluka said preliminary figures from various registration centers show that only a small number of people, particularly young first-time voters, are coming forward to register. Let's take a listen to that conversation. Good afternoon, David Tseluka, and welcome to On The Radar Analysis.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the listeners. Thank you for providing us with this opportunity to engage with the electorate.
Of course. Now, I understand that the Electoral Commission of Namibia is concerned with voters' registration so far having counted about to 19,359. Of course, I'm sure today the figure has gone up a little bit higher than that. But obviously the concern is around a lack of people actually, or low number of turnout of people coming to register. Kindly go into detail about that.
Well, thank you. Of course, yes, the Commission have observed with great concern the low turnout of the eligible voters.
Yeah.
Who are turning out to register during this supplementary registration of voters during the first week of the supplementary registration of voters, which started from the 4th until the 9th of August.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to urge particularly the youth to ensure that they take this opportunity to register to vote during the upcoming regional councils and local authority elections, because these are very, very critical elections, as you will be electing your leaders that will represent you at central government.
And what has ECN identified to be the cause of reason why there's a little number of turnout of people? Could it be that perhaps more education supposed to be done so that people are really made aware of this registration? Something, or what exactly do we account the lack of turnout of number two?
Well, you see, we wouldn't attribute the low turnout to lack of voter education, because we've intensified our voter education campaign.
Mm.
However, we, as a commission, we've also, or as a country, you know, registration to vote and voting is voluntary. So it's up to the citizens, the eligible voters, to take their civic duty seriously,
mm-hmm,
and ensure that they register as voters, and also exercise their right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So it is indeed a civic duty for every eligible Namibian to register to vote, with or without the efforts from voter education. The Commission has launched the electoral calendar. And during the launch of the electoral calendar, which is the official roadmap to the conduct of this election cycle, we've emphasized on the key dates of key activities outlined in the electoral calendar. And the supplementary registration of voters is one of those key activities outlined in the electoral calendar. We have rolled out voter and civic education activities or campaign. We have our voter and civic education officers on radio, on TV, on the streets, everywhere across the 121 constituencies,
yeah,
59 local authorities, and we have also supplemented their efforts by employing youth ambassadors so that they can at least entice their fellow youth to go out and register to vote in the upcoming elections. So indeed, it's a civic duty. And we want to urge all eligible Namibian citizens to take their civic duty very serious, which is to go and register within this period of the supplementary registration of voters.
Mm. Mr. Seluka, is there a particular percentage that is aimed for by ECN that should this percentage not be met, then voting cannot take place, or with whatever number turns out, registration is definitely, I mean, voting is definitely taking place on come 26 November 2025?
Of course, last year we have registered a quite good number during the general registration of voters, where we observed the registration of 90% of the total eligible voters. So our target now is to ensure that we register all the remainder of the eligible voters in the following categories. There are those who, for some reasons, did not register during the general registration of voters last year, but they were already 18 years. So they have the opportunity to now go and register. And there are those who have turned 18 years after the general registration of voters. So they now are eligible to register as voters. And then we have the categories of those who have moved from one constituency to the other. They have also the opportunity to go and change their address so that they vote in the constituency where they reside now. And then we have those who might have damaged, lost, misplaced, their voter's card.
Yeah.
So they also have the opportunity now to go and apply for a duplicate. And lastly, there are those who resided in a local authority last year. And I want to emphasize, especially on local authorities, if you live in a local authority, that is a town, a village council, or a city like Windhoek, and you have lived there for 12 executive months, this is your opportunity to go and register. Check your voter's card. On your voter's card, if local authority elections is indicating not applicable or NA, and you are now eligible, you have stayed in that settlement or village council or city or town for 12 executive months after last year, August, during the general registration of voters, then you are eligible to go and register as long as you prove that indeed you live in that locality. So we really want to urge. Also, we have newly proclaimed settlements.
Mm-hmm.
That is UIS in Daure's constituency of Irongo region, and Onanjaba in Omsati region. Those are eligible voters in those constituencies, in that locality, are urged to go and register for local authority because they are now proclaimed as a local authority and will be conducting local authority elections in those two specific additional local authorities. So we want to urge them to go out in numbers and register.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. David Seluka, for making time for us right here on the radar analysis. But then, last and foremost, one can only vote in the constituency where they are residing?
Yes. So you must register where you reside.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the constituency where you are going to vote. The regional councils and local authority elections are unlike presidential and national assembly elections, where you can vote anywhere across the country. For these specific elections, you have to vote in the within the constituency where you have registered to vote. So if you have registered to vote in Nunu constituency, for example, in Kavango, that is where you must go and vote on the 26th of November.
Okay.
Yes.
Well noted. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. And for now, we pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly with more news. Stay tuned.
Great news. Input just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before.
Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So,
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. You are tuned into On the Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now, the Parliament Standing Committee on Constitutional Legal Affairs and Petitions attended a 5-day capacity building training in Swakopmund to strengthen its newly assigned mandate of reviewing international treaties. Now, we're joined by the committee's chairperson, Mr. Modestus Amutse. Good afternoon, Sayin. It's a pleasure to have you on the Radar Analysis.
Yes, good afternoon. We are fine here in Swakopmund.
Okay. I understand that you've been attending a 5-day capacity building training in Swakopmund, at which you spoke about the importance of such engagements to deepen the knowledge of those that are invested in, of course, of our leaders. Kindly emphasize more on that.
Oh, yes. It is an exercise that is very important for our members to build their capacity, so that we can be able to interrogate the different treaties that Namibia has signed with different bodies, being it in the form of bilateral agreements, protocols, or governance, so that we see what is in for Namibia and where, and to view the relevance of the content.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the treaties were signed a long time back, and it could be that the narratives or maybe the interest of the country has changed to where it was during the signing of the agreement, and therefore we have to see whether we cannot align certain things or certain treaties to the current situation of the country's interests. So, but now to identify those interests and also to know how to navigate the whole processes, one need to build the capacity of every participant, the committee members, so that we promote equal participation, but also capacitate ourselves to be able to do the best for the country.
And who exactly are those that are attending this engagement?
People who are attending this engagement are members to the Committee of Constitutional, Legal Affairs and Petitions. And of course, there are those that are participating in a form of training, providing training. And these are people from different academic backgrounds, being lecturers of law, for instance, and our senior officials from the Ministry of Justice.
And I see that one of the aims is to explore best practices and ensure that Namibia engages the international community from an informed and deliberate standpoint. Now, why is this so important? Of course, you did talk about it earlier, but why is it so important that our leaders respond to international agencies or international communities from an informed and educated standpoint, and not just say things that will obviously get us into trouble?
No, yes, it is always good to make an informed decision so that you address the real issues instead of addressing perhaps just an imagination. So that is why it is important, number one, to understand the different dynamics of the global society, because we are living in the world where each country has its own interests and different laws.
Yeah.
So one must actually be able to understand the dynamics between the different laws, cross-border cooperations, and all these kind of factors that are usually associated with treaties, because treaties are instruments that regulate the relationship between different countries or different states, or different organizations, and therefore you must be able to understand the other organizations and their interests so that you are able to advance yours, and also to see where your strength lies in this whole setup.
Mm-hmm. While we're still there, Mr. Modestus, is it everything that perhaps that, say, for instance, Namibia observes that not necessarily in line with our laws and our regulations? Is it everything that we observe that we perhaps ought to stand up and say that we condone this or we don't support this? Or there are some things that we can actually go mute and not say anything? Or what does that actually have on us as a country?
No. What our responsibility is not really to remove certain provisions, but it's to observe, because the Parliamentary Standing Committee's role is to do oversight function. It's actually to observe whether what we have still respond to the current needs. And there, to identify it, you must understand then the global dynamics of the specific aspect where you want to concentrate on. So some of the treaties are so good to us, and so are they good to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, of course, they might address certain issues, but then also not in total interest of our aspirations. For instance, we might have a different eye on the human rights law with regards to certain context or certain clauses, and then we have to see whether what we have is aligning to what we desire to have. And remember that these international treaties are normally domesticated in all, most of them, depending on the nature and type of the treaty, domesticated in order to make them operational on your home ground. And some of them are applied by courts in the absence of statutes. So we really, our work is really to see to it that did we sign all of them or ratify, or did we ratify some where we were supposed perhaps to look at A, B, C, D, and after ratification, did we operationalize And if not, what are the impediments that prevented us from operationalization of this treaty? So we are looking at different dynamics of a treaty, the life cycle of a treaty. So, but what is important is that, you see, most of the members are new to Parliament because they joined during 2025, 2030 Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for us as an institution to take our members through so that all of us have the same understanding on treaties. Some of them came from different backgrounds as well. Of course, we will be lucky, but of course, some of them are having a legal background and they are likely to understand the treaties, how they operate and how to identify certain areas of interest.
Yeah. Just how has your committee taken on this new assigned role and mandate to review international treaties? And can we expect more engagements of this type in future, perhaps also maybe with other committees from other countries dealing with the same manner?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I want to confirm that Namibia is not lagging behind when it comes to either the implementation of committees or reporting on the progress of committees. Or initiating treaties. So we are actually, I would say, from my own perspective, we are doing good so far. And what the standing committee would want to do is to continue to do best to take it from where it is today and probably to do it even much better when it comes to the oversight function to ensure that, for instance, before a treaty is ratified through Parliament, the committee would have done its homework maybe to ensure that the provisions, the context of this treaty is in the best interest of the Namibian people.
Of course. Now, lastly, Mr. Modestus Amutse, you being the committee's chairperson, you bring on board variety experience, especially in the IT infrastructure. How do you intend on incorporating this, considering that Namibia is now, not only Namibia, but the world is moving into fourth industrialization, and we are talking about AI and all those digital spaces. How do you intend on incorporating it?
Yeah, no, definitely the world is not even moving towards the fourth industrialization. It's actually in the sixth industrialization already. Others are in the fifth industrialization.
Yeah.
So depending on where you are on the mother earth, of course, Africa being the developing continent still. But yes, IT is the order of the day. And that's the reason why we have also emphasized on the importance of digitizing the treaties, especially on the Namibian platform, so that we have a specific area where by click of a button on your cell phone or whatever gadget you are using, you can actually access the treaties and be able even to analyze the performance of the country on these treaties. So it is a very important thing that we start migrating from the use of hard copies and so on, so that we go to the modern use of digital technology when it comes to digital libraries, digitizing all kind of material, not only treaties, but digital libraries are now the order of the day if you want to access information by a tip of a finger.
Of course. You know what? I don't want to let you go without asking you this particular question. And it's related to news that I covered yesterday on the ethical use of social media. Just exactly what is your message to the Namibian people in terms of the use, ethical use of social media? I mean, we're seeing cases of people being sued every now and then because of a comment a wrong comment that they gave out there, or perhaps sharing or invasion of privacy. What is your take on that, sir?
Well, it is a very difficult topic, whether, but I would say, you see, everybody has a responsibility towards another.
Yeah.
So as much as you love yourself, love another person too, and therefore control the conduct, control your language and your behavior towards another, because you would probably want another person to behave in the same manner towards you. So if you are not sure of the content that you want to place on the social media, whether keep quiet and don't place it, because it could infringe in the right of another person, because democracy is not only one-sided. It's a two-way traffic. It is where yours end, the other one's right start, especially when it comes to the freedom of expression. Freedom of expression is not an absolute right. It is a right to express yourself, but within the limit that the Constitution provides to each and everybody, because remember that the Constitution protects the rights of every person on an equal basis. So maybe it is still, I would believe, probably the Ministry of MICT would probably still continue to educate, to make to with community awareness, awareness creation, to educate the people on the importance of the responsible use of social media.
Yeah.
Because remember that social media nowadays is also used as a weapon, you know, to create a conflict between people, to disunite the people, and we must at all costs avoid that. I think what happened in Namibia in many cases is that everybody now is a journalist by herself or herself. So you pick up something of your interest and you just go on air and blow it. And sometimes, and in many cases, this type of actions do not prescribe to any media ethics, making you vulnerable maybe to be shot at the end of the day. Or if you are not shot, maybe just vulnerable to hatred, because the person that you may harm in this process will definitely not be happy with your action. And that's not the society we want to have. We want a society that respects each other, in a society that behaves in a manner that promotes coexistence.
Very clear and precise. Thank you so much, Mr. Modesto Samta, for making time for us right here on the Reader Analysis.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And there you had it. For now, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We're still coming back with news coming your way. And when we do return, we shall be calling up our lucky winner for this week for the ShopRite You Save gift voucher. Now, I sure hope that you have been tuned in all this while. Now, remember, you can also partake in the news analysis by dialing in studio on 083-288-401. Now, your opinions and your contributions or your questions are valid in the meta right here on the Reader Analysis. Would love to hear from you. But otherwise, stay tuned so you can hear if you are the lucky winner.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion.
Stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 Hi Baby active diapers at only $124.99. See all our Real Value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back, and now we're calling up our lucky winner for this week's ShopRite You Save 500 gift voucher. Now the phone is ringing. We sure hope that they are close to their mic and they would be the lucky winner.
Hello.
A very good afternoon to you, sir.
Afternoon, how are you?
Well, thank you. This is Happy calling you from Eagle FM.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You say? Okay. Now, I am calling you to inform you that you are this week's lucky winner of the $500 ShopRite You Save gift voucher. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm hearing you.
Did you hear what I just said now?
Yes, I heard it.
Okay. What do you have to say? Could you maybe try and find a not so windy place?
Okay.
I can
hear you.
Did you just hear the good news that I told you now?
Yes, I'm very glad to hear that.
Okay.
So very good. What is the next step?
Can you, you're live on air now. Can you perhaps find a place that is not so noisy? Not too windy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm standing somewhere, so I think you can hear me well.
I can hear you well now. Okay, so where are you, Mr. Gabriel?
I'm currently in Ongwadiva, but I'm staying in Oshakati.
Uh-huh. Are you a firm listener of Eagle FM?
Yes, a listener.
Okay. So what do you plan on doing with your 500 voucher, and what is it that you would like to say to ShopRite You Save?
No. To ShopRite, I would like to purchase some grocery, like washing powders, rations, and some meat.
Yeah, some essential stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What message do you have to somebody listening at home who wishes to be the lucky winner next time?
So I'm just going to tell any listener of ABFM, so they try also this competition, or any competition that ABFM is taking place. So you never knew when it's your lucky day, because I wasn't expecting this, but I have tried to enter a lot of competition on Eagle FM, but I'm very happy today that I managed and I won. I'm very glad and happy to hear such a news. So I'm inviting any listener for Eagle FM right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they also try to tune in and try to take part.
Okay.
One day.
Of course.
Right?
Congratulations, Mr. Gabriel George.
Thank you very much. And
our team, don't worry. Our team will be in contact with you on how you can receive your gift voucher.
Oh, very great.
We don't want to announce it on air. They must participate and be the lucky one. Otherwise, they're going to pick it up on your behalf.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Very great. And I'll continue to listen to Gretchen. Thank you very much.
Okay, dear.
Very good.
And there you had it from this week's lucky winner of the 500 gift voucher from ShopRite You Save. Now, you can also be a lucky winner All you have to do is participate. Now let's pause here shortly and we'll be back with economic indicators.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now for some news beyond the borders. But before we get to news beyond the borders, we'll tell you what's happening in terms of Namibia compared to other currencies and thereafter trading economics. Now, $1 today will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 58 cents, while €1 will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 55 cents. $1 will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 45 cents. £1 will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 84 cents. Now over to our border, next door neighbor, Botswana Pula will get you $1.31, while 1 Kenyan shilling will get you 0.14 Namibian dollars. Now over to our trading economics. Now, the annual inflation in Botswana dropped to 1.1% in July 2025, the softest since August 2020, from 2% in the prior month. Prices slowed down mostly for good and non-alcoholic beverages at 4.3% versus 5.4% in June. Miscellaneous goods and services at 7.5% versus 7.8%. Alcoholic beverages and tobacco at 6.4% versus 6.6%. Now, recreation and culture is at 2.3% versus 2.1%. 2.6%. And restaurants and hotels at 2.8% versus 3%. Moreover, declines were observed for housing and utilities and transportation. On a monthly basis, the CPI fell by 0.7% in July, marking the steepest decrease in 10 months. Taiwan's annual economy growth in the second quarter of 2025 was revised upward to 8.01% from an initial estimate of 7.96%, accelerating from a downwardly revised 5.45% in the first quarter. Now, this marked the fastest economic expansion since the second quarter of 2021, driven by a 35.02% surge in exports, primarily fueled by strong demand for AI and emerging technologies. Imports also rose significantly, increasing 31.29% compared to 23.71% in the previous quarter. Meanwhile, government spending grew notably at 2.85% versus 0.52%, while private consumption slowed at 0.49% versus 1.32%, as did gross fixed capital formation. Now, on the production side, the manufacturing sector expanded by 17.24% in the second quarter of 2025, following a 10.18% increase in the first quarter, mainly due to strong output growth in semiconductors, computers, electronics, and optical products. On a seasonally adjusted basis, GDP rose by 3.05% in the second quarter, accelerating from a downwardly revised 1.51% expansion in the previous quarter. The Central Bank of Sri Lanka expects the country's economy to grow by 4.5% in 2025, exceeding the World Bank's forecast of 3.5%. However, in its latest monetary report, the central bank warned that external demand conditions and the evolving global economic landscape introduce uncertainty into the country's near to medium-term growth outlook. Sri Lanka is also continuing talks with the United States after it imposed 20% tariffs last month, reducing rose from 44% in April. In 2024, Sri Lanka's GDP grew by 5%, marking a strong recovery from the severe financial crisis 3 years ago, supported by $2.9 million bailout package from the International Monetary Fund, IMF. Meanwhile, the Central Bank of Sri Lanka report projected that inflation will continue to accelerate and reach the central bank's target of 5% by mid-2026, supported by improving demand conditions. European natural gas futures dropped by 31.7 megawatts per hour, closing on the lowest since July 2024, ahead of the Trump-Putin summit aimed at ending the Ukraine war. While a quick return of Russian pipeline gas is unlikely, any change to sanctions could reshape global supply. Europe now relies mainly on imports from the US, Qatar, and others, competing with Asia for cargoes, with Russia's supply under 20% last year. Sanctions relief could revive Russian projects, easing supply pressures. However, impact hinges on a verifiable ceasefire and reconstruction commitments. Now, Trump has warned of very severe consequences if Putin refuses peace and has pushed Europe toward more U.S. Meanwhile, EU storage is nearly 73% full, with Germany above 65%, Italy over 84%, and France around 81%. Now, in terms of agricultural commodities, the top commodity losers today are canola at minus 1.08% and rubber at minus 0.71%. Gains are led by palm oil at 0.77% and oat at 0.53%, with rapeseed coming in at 0.53%. And that's what we had for you today in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. Let's pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with News Beyond the Borders.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. Of course, we start off regionally, then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, you can expect some international news. Now, starting off in South Africa, where the National Convention has started, and President Cyril Ramaphosa gives his keynote address.
I want to greet the Speaker of our National Assembly, Togo Didiza. I heard word that the Chief Justice, Mandisa Maya, might be here, and I greet her if she is here. I greet ministers and deputy ministers. I'd like to greet members of parliament, representatives and leaders of civil society, traditional leaders who are here amongst us, faith-based organizations, leaders, and I welcome back to those who are here within us, who are eminent leaders of various faith-based organizations, business and labor leaders, youth and women's movement, leaders and representatives of political parties, esteemed guests, and most importantly, my fellow South Africans. I'd like to welcome you all to this historic gathering. I have called this first national convention in my capacity as your president, as the head of state. I do so in line with Section 83 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. This gives me a locus standi. For all of us who are here, we are all equal. But it gives me locus standi because I happen to be the state president. So Section 83 of our constitution requires that the president, as the head of state and the head of the national executive, should promote the unity of the nation and that which will advance the Republic of South Africa and its people. This is what brings me here. And this is why I invited all of you to be here and to be part of this dialogue. So it is with that authority, if anyone were to ask you. I should thank everyone who is here today for accepting this invitation. I am truly humbled and very touched that all of you have heeded this invitation and have come through to this meeting so that we can have a dialogue. You have traveled from many parts of our country, in fact, from all parts of our country, to be here. This is a true honor to me as your president. It is a true honor to all of us, to each one of us. We should feel honored. Today marks the first sitting of the National Convention, of the National Dialogue, a space where we confront our realities openly, respectfully and constructively. This is not a partisan platform. This is a national platform. Here, no voice is too small. No perspective is too inconvenient to be heard. We are gathered to listen to each other, to understand one another, and to chart a common path forward for our country. We are meeting at a time of profound challenges that confront.
Zambia's copper output surged 17.78% in the second quarter of 2025.
Zambia is targeting to produce 1 million metric tons of copper this year. This target is a step towards the 3 million tons of copper production annually by 2030. By the second quarter of 2025, copper output has already reached 439,644 metric tons, up from 373,263 tons during the same period last year. Key mines, Konkola Copper Mine, Mopani Copper Mines, and Chibuluma Mine are driving the increase.
By this second quarter, we have increased production of copper by 17.78%. Of this figure, 39,477, which is about 9% of the total production in the first half, came from small-scale and artisanal miners. The overall increase in copper production is predominantly attributed to the increase in production output at KCM, Mopani, Kansanshi, and Chibuluma mine. KCM production stood at 35,387 metric tons.
Mines Minister Paul Kabuswe also highlighted a rise in gold production.
The production of gold in quarter two of 2025 stood at 1,777.62 kg compared to 1,364 recorded in 2024, representing an increase of 35.3%. The increase was driven by Kansanshi mine, whose production increased by 30.31% in 2025 compared to the same period in 2024.
He also shared updates on artisanal mining licenses being issued to cooperatives and individual miners.
With regards to formalization of artisanal and small-scale miners, so far, 1,488 artisanal mining rights have been granted to mining cooperatives, with 1,176 issued to individuals and 312 to mining cooperatives for gold and non-gold mining.
The minister also provided an update on the countrywide high-resolution aerial geophysical mapping survey, a key project to identify new mineral resources.
Currently, the survey is going on in blocks 3 and 4, where 3.5% and 27% has been covered respectively. The two blocks encompasses all eastern districts of Western Province and southwest districts of Northwestern Province. This progress brings the overall country coverage to 27.6% as at 30th June 2025.
With mining fueling economic growth, the second quarter of 2025's performance signals strong prospects for the country reaching its set target in copper production. Alice Lubasi, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Protests are being held in South Africa over the Israelis' killing of journalists in Gaza.
The killing of four Al Jazeera staff members and their media colleagues in a recent Israeli airstrike has sent shockwaves across the globe, their voices silenced as they reported on the daily horrors. Standing on the steps of St. George's Cathedral, a symbol of South Africa's own struggle, activists, journalists and community leaders gathered for a vigil honoring media workers killed in Gaza. It has become a weekly ritual since the start of the conflict 2 years ago.
Every morning I wake up and I think, let's hope today is a day. But until that day, we will be on these steps in solidarity with our brothers and sisters. We can't give up, and we've never had so much focus. And I am more than confident that we will be dancing in the streets of Ramallah and East Jerusalem on Liberation Day.
For fellow journalists, the pain runs deep. Among those killed when they were attacked in their tent was 28-year-old Al Jazeera correspondent Anas Al-Sharif. He reported on the war from the start, but Israel accused him of being linked to Hamas without evidence.
As a Palestinian journalist standing here, I lost family in Gaza myself. And I know that how important it is for journalists to tell the truth. And I think this is late, to be honest, after 2 years of this genocide. But it's not too late for our other colleagues. I think it's important for journalists to stand up again and stand up for their colleagues in Gaza and push for the international media to go and see the truth.
This vigil takes place as South Africa presses on with its case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, a legal action now joined by countries including Brazil, Spain and others. Organizers here say the relentless killing of journalists in Gaza is a deliberate attempt to black out information and silence those attempting to bring to light the atrocities by Israel against the Palestinian people.
They are not only killing the journalists, but what they're trying to do is to kill the story, to kill the narrative, and spin their own falsehoods. And we are calling upon all journalists, all media houses, to speak the truth, to speak truth to power, not to be inveigled by Israel into their system of propaganda, into their Goebbels-like propaganda.
The targeted attack has drawn international condemnation, while a humanitarian crisis continues to unfold in Gaza with tens of thousands dead and survivors clinging onto life.
To die is one issue, but the most painful form of death is starvation. And to see how mothers get demoralized, to see their children die, I've seen it. I've been in Niger with famine. I've been in Somalia with famine. I've seen the hunger in South Africa also, in different areas. So, you know, it's brutal how money, Zionism, the first world countries can stand together to annihilate the people.
The message here is clear. Stop the killing. Open Gaza to humanitarian aid and allow international media to report freely on the war. Julie Shara Sichtian, Cape Town.
Young farmers in Nigeria find growth in mushroom farming.
In Abuja, Alaya Hassan runs Hasset Farms, where rows of mushrooms sprout inside a 900 square feet climate-controlled shed. He began in 2016 with less than $40 capital, but now has hundreds of customers with a 70% profit margin. His journey shows how mushrooms can multiply fast while keeping production costs low.
We do our harvest every single day because the produce fast, the demand is high, and we are even always increasing our productivity to cater for the increasing demand from the customers. So it's highly profitable.
But it's not just the profits drawing attention. Mushrooms are also a nutrition powerhouse. Health experts say their rich vitamin and mineral profile makes them an ideal addition to Nigeria's largely nutrient deficit diets, especially as more consumers embrace healthy eating.
Mushrooms are generally healthy plants. They are nutrient dense. What I mean by that is that they are low in calories, low in fats. They are very rich in vitamin B, all the vitamin Bs. They are a good source of minerals.
Nigeria's appetite for mushrooms is huge, around 300,000 tons a year. But just 30,000 tons are produced locally, while the rest is imported.
Experts believe scaling local production could cut import costs, expand the agriculture sector, and create new jobs.
This agriculture that can happen in small species, you know, and, you know, if properly, you know, positioned and properly given its rightful place, it will create huge opportunities in generating revenue for government, creating wealth for the people, reducing jobs. You know, the basic things that are constraints of government are easily eased off by getting a mushroom.
Starting a mushroom farm here costs anywhere between $40 to $100 for a small-scale setup with an all-year-round harvest. With relatively low input costs, health benefits, and rising demand, mushrooms are showing strong potential as a scalable agribusiness venture.
With less than a plot of land, you can make up to 5 million naira from planting mushrooms. You know, so it doesn't require so much space to produce, and you have a huge return on investment investing in that.
Experts say with the right training, microfunding, and public awareness, this modest fungus could help a new generation of farmers grow a healthier and more profitable future. Kelechi Amekalam, CGTN Abuja, Nigeria.
African Union urges use of world map showing Africa's true size.
Notice a difference between these two maps? The size of Africa differs. Criticism of this widely used map on the right, the 16th century Mercator map, is not new.
It's the world's longest misinformation and disinformation campaign.
It might seem to be just a map, but in reality, it is not.
But the debate has been revived thanks to the Correct the Map campaign, which on Thursday was backed by the African Union. The campaign, led by advocacy groups Africa No Filter and Speak Up Africa, is urging organizations to adopt the 2018 Equal Earth Projection, which tries to reflect the country's true sizes.
There are alternatives to the Mercator Projection.
Farah Njai, the co-founder of Speak Up Africa, says the Mercator map affects Africans' identity and pride.
There is a very tangible link between the map and also end perception, because undermining and showing a reduced continent and a smaller continent very much undermines also that false perception of importance and power on the global stage.
The 16th century map distorts continent sizes, enlarging areas near the poles, such as North America and Greenland, while shrinking Africa and South America. Njai says Speak Up Africa is actively working to promote a curriculum where the Equal Earth map will be the main standard across all African classrooms. A spokesperson for the African Union Commission said it aligned with the campaign's goals of, quote, reclaiming Africa's rightful place on the global stage. They added the body will advocate for wider map adoption and discuss collective actions with member states. Correct the Map is asking organizations like the World Bank and the United Nations to adopt the Equal Earth map. A World Bank spokesperson said they already use the Winkel Triple or Equal Earth for static maps and are phasing out Mercator on the web. A UN spokesperson said the request would need to be reviewed and approved by a committee of experts.
Air Canada to cancel most of its 700 flights as strike looms.
Air Canada expects to cancel the majority of its estimated 700 daily flights on Friday, ahead of a planned Saturday strike by unionized flight attendants. The country's largest carrier operates over 250 aircraft on flights to more than 65 countries. The cancellations have left some 100,000 passengers scrambling to make alternative travel plans. Air Canada's Chief Operations Officer, Mark Nasser, spoke at a press conference held by executives at the airline on Thursday.
This approach will help limit the strike's impact by allowing as many customers as possible to complete their journeys. But importantly, it will also help facilitate an orderly restart, which, under the best circumstances, will take a full week to complete.
Nasser added the airline would allow travelers to change their travel plans without a fee if they so chose. The press conference ended abruptly, when union members entered the Toronto Hotel conference room where it was being held. The two sides are at odds over higher pay and compensation for unpaid work. Most airlines traditionally pay flight attendants only when planes are in motion. But in their latest contract negotiations, flight attendants in North America have sought compensation for hours worked, including for tasks such as boarding passengers and waiting around the airport before and between flights. The union said Air Canada had offered to begin compensating their 10,000 flight attendants for some unpaid work, which it said amounts to about 35 hours a month, but only at 50% of their hourly rate. The airline said it had offered a 38% increase in total compensation for flight attendants over 4 years, with a 25% raise in the first year. The Canadian Union of Public Employees, which represents the flight attendants, has not publicized what it has asked for in terms of higher wages. A union spokesperson said Air Canada negotiators stopped bargaining and have not responded to a proposal they made earlier this week. The airline's chief human resources officer said on Thursday the carrier was, quote, available to bargain at any time on the condition that the negotiation has substance.
Vladimir Putin is ready to make a deal on Ukraine, says Donald Trump.
Welcome back to BBC News. I'm Adina Campbell. Let's take a look at some of the day's other stories now. And Donald Trump says he believes Vladimir Putin is ready to make a deal as the two leaders prepare for talks in Alaska later. Mr. Trump says he's expecting a good meeting. And if it goes well, he hopes follow-up talks will take place with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Ahead of the meeting, Mr. Putin praised Donald Trump's efforts to end the war as energetic and sincere. Well, soon the American and Russian leaders will be making the long journey to Anchorage in Alaska for the talks, where the two men will be joined only by their translators. In a moment, we'll hear from Tom Bateman, but first, here's my colleague Sumi Somaskander reporting from Anchorage.
We've arrived in Anchorage, Alaska's biggest city. It will serve as a backdrop for one of the most consequential meetings of the year. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin will sit down to talk about ending the war in Ukraine. We've already seen huge media interest, journalists from across the U.S. and around the world as this high-stakes summit is set to get underway. There is also heightened security here in Anchorage, especially surrounding Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, where this meeting is set to take place. We know the two leaders are going to sit down. They could talk for minutes. They could talk for hours. And after they conclude, we might see a joint press conference with both President Trump and President Putin.
Well, let's speak to the former Lithuanian foreign minister, Gabrielis Landsbergis. He joins us from Vilnius. Good to have you with us here on BBC News. Of course, this is a high-stakes meeting, a lot riding on this. What are your expectations?
Well, I'm not particularly optimistic about the meeting. There is a slight chance that the meeting will not produce any result, and probably that would be counted as the best outcome of the meeting. But I think that it is very likely that the two leaders will emerge with a plan how to carve up an independent country and how to divide it in two, basically.
And what do you think will be going through the minds of the two leaders just hours before they do sit down for these crucial talks?
I think each of the leaders will be thinking that he has the other where he wants him. And I think that in a way, when we consider what are their potential outcomes, they might be right. And what are their potential intentions that might be right. President Trump will have a grand event, something that has not happened for a very long time. You know, that will show him as a very important leader, setting the stage for the world events. And Putin, well, basically, he wants acknowledgement and confirmation that his attack on Ukraine is legitimized, and he can basically plan for the next stage.
And of course, most of the world will be watching this meeting, and the international community, you have said, should be saying that that Ukraine should be expressing victory rather than sympathy. Can you just tell us a bit more about that and your stance in terms of that point?
Well, Ukrainians might be presented with a basically impossible choice. Imagine a person with a gun at his hand, and offered, to take it or leave it. The proposal that comes out of the meeting of two leaders. So I think that that Zelensky's position could be incredibly difficult. And European countries have to do everything in their power to support him and reject the deal if it is a carve-up of Ukraine.
And how confident are you in terms of a deal being reached today, considering there seems to be equal amounts of optimism and cynicism?
Well, look, I mean, there are people who are saying that that Putin might reject the deal, and you know he will not accept any proposal made by Trump. But I think that there is also a chance that he will accept the deal, and break it in next 24 hours, putting the blame on Ukrainians, on Europeans, on whoever that he wants. So basically, there's a lot of cynicism in the air in Anchorage, I'm sure, right now.
And at this point, who do you think has the upper hand?
Well, unfortunately, not Ukrainians. I'm pretty confident that Putin believes that he's going to emerge as a winner of the meeting. He has a lot of cards in his hands and not much.
Wholesale inflation heats up in July, a warning for consumers.
In our money lead now, an unexpected spike in the prices that producers and manufacturers pay. Inflation on the wholesale level picked up steam in July, that according to the Producer Price Index, or PPI. And though consumer inflation is holding steady to a large degree, the new July wholesale numbers could serve as a bellwether for what shoppers could soon see. Joining me now is Gene Soroka, Executive Director of the Port of Los Angeles. Gene, good to have you on.
Good evening, Jim.
So speaking of bellwethers, ports are a good bellwether, and we know that businesses were rushing to import goods earlier this year, get in before the tariffs. I wonder what you're seeing right now.
Jim, it's been a roller coaster. After the announcement of tariffs back in April, volume plummeted by 19% in the month of May. Took a while to pick back up again, making for an all-time good news story at the back half of June. And then July, which we just closed, was our best month on record in the 117-year history of the port. Importers trying to advance inventory underneath the wire before new deadlines on tariffs are announced.
You and others have made clear that it is U.S. importers that are paying these tariffs. You see this there. Container comes in. They have to pay X amount of money to get that container off the ship. Have you seen those importers' willingness to do so, to pay those tariffs, begin to wane?
I think so, because I believe that July will be noted as our peak. Typically, getting ready for the year-end holiday season, you see August, September, October as your high-volume import months. I think we've got so much inventory in the country right now that will start to wane a little bit, and folks still really apprehensive as to the permanency of these trade tariffs that are in place today.
So now we have this number, a full 3.3% change year over year, full percent jump in wholesale inflation for this month. How soon could wholesale inflation begin to impact consumers and show up to the prices in the prices consumers pay?
We believe end of September, and it's imminent. The numbers you just recounted are all that of the middle mile, the product that's sitting in the warehouses that have been there.
Right.
The inventory that was padded for months ahead of time is really being burned down now. And so what we're seeing is that just around the corner from those producer prices, usually the consumer prices start to tick up.
What goods, is there a category of goods you think will be most affected for consumers from the start?
We'll take the highest prices first and the products you need to buy earlier. The back-to-school numbers looked less than good, according to the retail community, and prices had already gone up. Think of backpacks, pens and pencil sets, blue jeans and sneakers for the kids going back to school. Next up will be Halloween. And then as we see the finished goods, especially out of China, with an effective tariff rate of 55%, that's going to be furniture, toys, clothing, footwear and electronics.
Well, I've certainly done a lot of back-to-school shopping myself. Gene Soroka, thanks so much for joining. That brings us now to today's Business Leaders, our series where we speak to small business owners about the impact of Trump's tariffs to their businesses right here in Anchorage, Alaska. Ehrman Skate is the first and only Nordic skate manufacturer in North America. It's a specialized skate that can be used to fly on wild ice found in Arctic environments around here in Alaska. Owner Paxson Welber joins me now, and he brought one of them. First of all, they look very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Long blades. And I guess the heel comes up when you're going along on like a frozen lake or something like that.
Exactly. So this is a Nordic skate.
And with that being said, we have officially come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Now, do stay tuned for the Uncle Nana Dingy program with Louis Sashimi, and thereafter the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut at 16:30. Don't forget the Business Economic segment with David Schomber at 1800 hours. From Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. And if you want to continue to hear the sound of my voice, tune in tomorrow on Saturday for live lessons from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. Have yourself a blessed weekend ahead. Goodbye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you...